In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that ignorance must be cut by the sword of transcendental knowledge. In the beginning of creation, the Supreme Lord, Krishna, imparted transcendental knowledge to Lord Brahma. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adakavaye. The purpose of creation is the living entity realizes the frustrations, the incompleteness of existing without Krishna. Therefore, before Brahma even creates a world, which is Dukalayama Shashvata, a world where everything is temporary, where there can be no real satisfaction, the purpose of creation is revealed for people to take shelter of the Lord through transcendental knowledge, detachment and devotion. Through parampara, this knowledge has been passed down. We understand that knowledge alone cannot give us spiritual realization. When we practice the knowledge, we get vigyan. We get experience. But unless we know what is to be done, what is not to be done, unless we understand the nature of the soul, the nature of material nature, prakriti, the nature of God, Ishvara, the nature of karma, why people are suffering here, the nature of time, the all-consuming supreme controller of material existence, and their various interrelations, how will we know the proper way to live, to achieve the ideals that are holy and true? Thus, transcendental knowledge is the basis of our spiritual lives. That is why Srila Prabhupada said, books are the basis. Unless we know what to do, we cannot build anything upon it that will have substantial purpose for our real well-being. Thus Krishna imparted transcendental knowledge at the very beginning of the universal creation. And it was Krishna's will that it be passed down in the system of parampara. Evam parampara praptam. From Brahma to Narada, we know the amazing knowledge that Narada imparted to so many personalities and how it totally transformed their lives. Dhruva Maharaj was frustrated by material existence, which is what material existence is supposed to do to you, frustrate you. He was the son of a king. Material nature did its work. He was really in anxiety. And at that point he met Narada Muni, and Narada Muni gave him transcendental knowledge. Not only knowledge of what is the truth, but how to apply the knowledge to realize it. Narada Muni spoke to him about the nature of the soul, the nature of God, but how to worship God. Deity worship, chanting the names, tapasya, and Dhruva Maharaj attained the ultimate perfection. Prahlad Maharaj, within the womb of his mother, he heard Narada Muni speak transcendental knowledge. It transformed his life. As soon as Prahlad came out of the womb, he applied that knowledge. And therefore he is a great Mahabhagavat, who we worship even today. Magrari the hunter, a demon, a real cruel demon. A person whose greatest pleasure in life was to see others suffer mercilessly, torture, and enjoy see people suffer. Such a person became a most kind-hearted, loving servant of every living entity, because Narada Muni explained to him the nature of the soul, the nature of God, the nature of this world, and for him especially, he was enlightened in the nature of the laws of karma and what was coming upon him. And the practical application of purification by devotional service, by always remembering Krishna and chanting his names, Magrari became a great saint, glorified in the scriptures. Beda Vyas, he's the literary incarnation of Godhead. Transcendental knowledge is of such importance for the prospect of all persons aspiring for real happiness and truth, that the Supreme Lord incarnates as Vedavyas to compile the Vedic literatures, to take that same message which was spoken to Brahman and passed down through the ages, and write books. Because in the age of Kali, due to the degradation of Dharma, people would not have the memories and intelligence to remember. So it was Veda Vyas that gave us the benediction of scriptures. And the culmination on the banks of Saraswati, by the order of Narada, he had written Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna explains in Gita to Arjuna that the nature of this world is everything goes down. And therefore he has to keep coming back and reviving this knowledge. He tells that this parampara of great kings passed down this truth, but in due course of time, it appears to have become lost. So he is speaking it again to revive it for the hope and salvation of humanity. Madhvacharya, one of the great acharyas in our line, what was his knowledge? At the time, people were misusing the Vedas, previous Brahmins exploiting people in the name of Vedic knowledge. This is one of the greatest tragedies in world history, is when so-called spiritual leaders misinterpret the scriptures for the purpose of exploiting others with their own agenda. And the nature of the false ego is usually people who have their own agenda really believe to the core of their heart that they are right, that they are truly representing the will of God. That is called fanaticism. So yes, Brahmins, they were living sinful lives, And they were justifying it in the name of Vedas. They were slaughtering animals and justifying it in the name of Vedas. Krishna is so kind. He appeared as Buddha. And he had to teach in his own way transcendental knowledge according to time, place, and circumstance, Kaladesha Patra, to give people a chance to learn ahimsa, meditation, purification through nonviolence, introspection. But in the process, he discarded the Vedas for necessary reasons. Shankaracharya brought the Vedic authority back, drove out the Buddhistic conception, but he taught it in a way that people would accept it, which was covered Buddhism. But then Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, what was their knowledge? Shankar already established the Vedas as authority, and they took the Vedas and explained that there is no question of doubt that the culmination of true knowledge of the Vedas is bhakti, that Krishna or Vishnu is the supreme personality of Godhead. Madhvacharya walked all the way from Udupi to Badrigashram to receive knowledge at the feet of Vedavyas. And then the power of the books that he wrote, even his own guru, Achyuta Preksha, surrendered to him. So comprehensive, power of knowledge. These are our acharyas. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, appeared in this great parampara. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila is so very illuminating because he was the greatest academic scholar that anyone had ever seen. The Digvijay Pandit Keshav Kashmiri, who was victorious in rhetorical debate throughout the land, was defeated by Lord Chaitanya in such a way that he crushed his pride without hurting his heart. That is preaching. He didn't break his heart. He didn't humiliate him. He retained the man's integrity and dignity toward himself and within the world, but at the same time crushed his pride. That is called compassion. In Krishna consciousness, we are not after simply defeating people. We are after transformation of people's hearts. So what a scholar he was. And he appeared to be very arrogant in his scholarship also, until he met his Guru Maharaj, Ishwarapuri, in Gaya, took initiation, received knowledge from his Guru, transcendental knowledge of parampara, and the order to spread it throughout the world through Harinam Kirtan. Amazing story. And from then on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached this principle: Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. He was supremely knowledgeable, but more humble than blade of grass. This is the Lord's example. Amazing. And took sannyas. Why? Out of compassion. to reach the intellectual class of people who did not accept him because he was a simple grihastha. Because in those days, people didn't have so much honor and respect for grihasthas, especially when they're teaching bhakti. If you're a Mayavadi, everyone will listen. But by teaching bhakti, you had to have authority. So he took sannyas, went to Puri, and there he had that incredible discussion in Lord Jagannath's temple with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was one of the foremost authorities in the whole world in Shankaracharya's interpretation of Vedanta. Unbelievable scholar. Please understand, there is no one of the likeness of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in the entire planet today. He was powerful. He was deeply cultured. He was an incarnation of Brihaspati. His scholarship was not of this world. It was beyond. The demigods learned the scriptures from Brihaspati. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what was his technique? It wasn't just to defeat him, it was to change his heart. He could have just came out with a thunderbolt of debate and just brought Sarvabhauma to his knees. But instead he offered him all respect, like a fatherly person. Lord Chaitanya honored him as a senior, sat in Jagannath Temple for several days, humbly listened to what he said. And at the end, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked, "Have you understood?" The Lord, with his permission, replied and defeated everything he said. Because the way he did it, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's heart was so open that it was transformed. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a pure, unalloyed Vaishnav who could not even tolerate the word mukti. Bhakti was the only truth. That was Mahaprabhu's knowledge. So yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to disseminate this knowledge throughout the world. And he did it through the six Goswamis. He defeated Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted books to be written to very, very deeply delineate Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the understanding of how to realize him. So what was the qualifications he saw in Rupa and Sanatan that he chose them to be the founders, the acharyas of our sampradaya? It was their good qualities. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Rupa Goswami at Prayag, his humility, his eagerness to serve, his genuine good qualities really conquered the heart of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya understood, this is the person that I can entrust the highest truth for the whole world to hear from. He embraced Rupa Goswami, empowered within his heart the ability to fully understand Lord Chaitanya's own heart. And he instructed him for 10 days at Prayag. And for 2 months he instructed Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was the prime minister of an entire kingdom. He was so eager for Krishna consciousness, he renounced everything for this purpose. And he fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. "I do not know anything. I am ignorant. I don't know who I am. I do not know why I'm suffering. People call me a pundit, and I believe them. That is my shameless condition. Please save me. That is the attitude in which transcendental knowledge can transform our heart. Any person with some karma to have good intelligence can learn, can memorize, and can speak. But we give very little importance to that. There are thousands of universities throughout the world today with people with that incredible karma to be able to learn, to memorize, and to speak. And there are so many people in the name of religion who are learning scriptures, and they have that power as well. And many are misleading people. But we find that Lord Chaitanya showed the world through Rupa and Sanatana that unless one really is humble, really has a service attitude, then knowledge could have the opposite effect of what it is supposed to do. Instead of bringing us closer to God, that same knowledge could push us farther from God. Because if we become proud, if we think we're better than others because of what we know, and we make offenses, we're being driven away from the Lord. Offenses drive us away from the Lord. The Lord cannot tolerate pride in his devotees. To show the world, he left the gopis. Of course, this is a lesson to the world. There's a deeper internal understanding. But Krishna left the Rasa Leela of the gopis because he sensed pride in their hearts. If he leaves the gopis because he senses pride, what is our position if we have pride? When Krishna wants to make a statement, he makes it clear. But in Kali Yuga, even so, very few people are willing to hear it and understand. So yes, knowledge is power. But unless knowledge is in the hands of a person who's qualified, it could mislead others and it could destroy the person, him or herself. And that is a fact. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who were the supreme personifications of the quality of humility and good character. When Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya entrusted them under Swarup Damodar Goswami to learn. And in that wonderful assembly of great Vaishnavas, they all tested Rupa Goswami's knowledge, and they all tested his good qualities, and they all unanimously affirmed he is the one to disseminate the highest truths to the world. He can reveal Lord Chaitanya's heart through his books. And then we should look at the character of the great acharyas of our sampradaya. Kaviraj Goswami. He was the next in the line of parampara who received knowledge from Rupan Raghunath. He's praying at their lotus feet in every chapter, humbling himself. He's considering himself more humble than, more fallen than the worm in stool, more fallen than Jagai and Madhai. If anyone hears my name, they lose their piety. If they speak my name, they become sinful. He went to every Vaishnava, fell at their feet, begged permission to speak. His speaking was his writing. He didn't do it for his name and fame. Prabhupada explains this. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami did not write to make his name great in history. It was the order of the Vaishnavas. He was simply obedient to the order of the Vaishnavas. And he took the blessings of every Vaishnava. And he took the blessings of the deities. And only then did he feel that he could be an instrument of their mercy. And he considered that he did nothing. He was simply an instrument. Because of the mercy of his gurus and the Vaishnavas, Krishna was speaking through him. Took no credit. That is a preacher. That is how transcendental knowledge must be realized, and that is what will empower us to really affect people's hearts, not just their minds and intelligence, but their hearts. Narottam Das Thakur, how he served his guru, cleaning his urine and stool secretly, without any adoration. He just did it because he was so eager for menial service. Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said the simple poems of Narottam Das Thakur, although in common Bengali language, has the import and the potency of the Vedas. Because of his love, his devotion, his qualities. So this is our parampara. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, what a knowledgeable person. Baladev Vidyabhusha. His commentary of Vedanta Sutra, supreme. Established Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings in circles that they were not properly accepted. Such knowledge. And it was passed down. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, what was the volumes and volumes of contributions of books that he has given? We will never understand his contribution to the world. He presented not only the pure unalloyed teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna, but he did it in such innovative ways that modern people could actually be attracted and understand and accept it. And his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision and made it a reality. He opened centers. He initiated thousands of people and trained them as preachers. And he desired to send them all over the world. And then we have Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. When he came off Jaladuta in New York City, he had nothing. But he was totally confident that his mission would be successful because he had his crate of books. Prabhupada spent so much of his time, so much of his life's energy to show his love for the Lord and all living beings in his books. For hours and hours every night, he deeply studied in the solitude of his quarters. The sloka and the purports of all the previous acharyas. And he prayed. He prayed at the lotus feet of his guru and all the acharyas to synthesize the realizations, the revelations of all of these great personalities and present it in a way that would transform the hearts of people in this world in the English language. Prabhupada explains that one should not write books for any other reason but carrying out the order of Krishna, Guru and the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada said we should preach and we should write in a spirit that we're doing it for our own purification. Volumes of literatures came out. Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, the largest selling Bhagavad Gita in the history of the world. without doubt the largest circulation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Ishopanishad, anything Prabhupada did, it became the largest circulation on the planet in history. That was his enthusiasm. Yes, he took the message of Rupa and Sanatan as it was digested and realized by the great souls and presented it to us. And he wanted it to distribute. Why did Srila Prabhupada put so much effort in writing so many books? Because of its great significance in our lives. When I first came to America from India in 1972, I was in New York City to meet Srila Prabhupada. At that time, book distribution was just starting to become serious, mostly back to Godheads. And Prabhupada at that time, I remember, in a class, he really impressed everyone. He said, I am not writing these books simply for you to distribute. I am writing these books for you to read. To read it. To understand it, to appreciate its value, then you will have real conviction to distribute it and transform people's hearts through the process. One time in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, real tapasya is to read my books at least 5 or 6 hours every day. He was trying to really emphasize. He wanted people to read his books. And he told the devotees that I'm writing these books for you. If you do not read them and you do not understand them, then you can fall down to Maya at any time. Because the illusory energy is so powerful and so bewildering. Unless we can discriminate with our intelligence what is reality, what is truth, then we will easily be diverted, we'll be captured by Maya, captured by sense gratification, captured by ego, captured by Mayavadi conceptions. It is inevitable. We have seen it. Unless we have a strong basis. And Prabhupada said, books are the basis. In his temples, and I remember well, during his time, it was mandatory for all temple devotees. In those days, there wasn't a congregation. It was temple devotees. We chanted our 16 rounds, we attended Mangal Arati, but every day, Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning and Bhagavad Gita class in the evening. Mandatory. Prabhupada wanted us to scientifically, systematically understand his books very, very carefully. Because it would protect us from Maya. Kaviraj Goswami explains, in this world, in order to be strong, you have to eat food grains. Hearing and chanting is the food grains that make us spiritually strong. Hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. Prabhupada has given us the most perfect presentation. Therefore, we bow our head and worship him from the core of our hearts because he has given us the greatest treasure of his books. Prabhupada said that his books were his devotional ecstasies. Prabhupada's books are the expression of his, of the supreme compassion of his heart and the hearts of all the great acharyas and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath in the spiritual world. That compassion has been passed down and is manifesting in its fullness in Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada took no credit for his books. Not at all. He considered it Krishna and his guru simply speaking through him. He told his servants on many occasions that I'm not writing these books. It is Krishna. Recently I was with Shrutikirti Prabhu in Ukraine, and he was emphasizing how wonderful it was that Prabhupada's, one of his favorite pastimes was to have devotees read Krishna book to him. And when even devotees weren't around, they would see Prabhupada sitting there absorbed totally in reading Krishna book. And Prabhupada said, it may appear peculiar that an author is so attached to reading his own books. But he said with such humility and with such conviction, I did not write these books. These books are written by Krishna. I was just the instrument. Yes, Prabhupada's books are the very substance and basis of our lives. Whatever we are is due to the mercy that has manifested through his books. And Srila Prabhupada wanted his books to be studied systematically, scientifically, and very sincerely. He wanted his books to be in classrooms and colleges. His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj, he was traveling around putting Prabhupada's books in colleges, and Prabhupada embraced him and wept tears of affection and gratitude for him for doing that. And Srila Prabhupada felt, in order for the devotees within our society to be strong, they must know these books. In fact, Prabhupada said, just like a lawyer knows the law books, we must know his books, if we have that capacity to do so. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada established the Bhakti Shastri program. There should be classes, there should be tests, Bhakti Shastri, then the next level, Bhakti Vaibhava, the next level, Bhakti Vedanta. He said, you give degrees. Just like in a college, you give degrees to the devotees. And he explained what books and what subjects should be studied on each level. So please understand that what you have just participated in to study Bhakti Shastra program and your test today, it is all completely organized, arranged, and inspired by Srila Prabhupada himself. His disciples, grand disciples, just filled in the details. But he gave the outline, he gave the plan, he gave the inspiration out of his compassion, out of his love. The purpose of life is to absorb ourselves in Krishna. If we're not absorbed in Krishna, the mind is going to be absorbed in something else. It can't be idle. Prabhupada wanted people who had an intellectual capacity to be absorbed in Krishna. And what better way than absorption in his names and Prabhupada's books? This is a great benediction. these exams impel us to absorb ourselves. And there's nothing more sweet than that. Because for most of us, unless there's some pressure upon us, we don't get absorbed. We'll just, in a very lackadaisic way, just kind of read his books and falling asleep while we're doing it. But when there's an exam, there's less likelihood that you will fall asleep when you are studying. Yes? Just like one very senior devotee told me recently, he said, the only time I'm really absorbed in Prabhupada's books is when I have to prepare for a lecture to so many people, because there's that pressure on me. Yes? That's usually when you have to prepare and there's expectations upon you. Oftentimes that's a very important incentive to take things seriously. Otherwise, you'll really look like a fool. And worse than that, you won't be able to perform your service. You won't be able to do, you cannot be an instrument. To the degree we're absorbed in Krishna, we can be an instrument of Krishna. So Prabhupada wanted these exams to make sure that people really are deeply diving into the teaching of his books. He wanted these exams as an opportunity to give an incentive for devotees to absorb themselves in books. I have a question to all of you. Most of you have been devotees for several years. Have you ever been so absorbed in deeply trying to study and understand Prabhupada's books as you have been preparing for this exam today? Please raise your hand if you have had this experience.
If you feel you have been absorbed, then raise your
hand. How many of you have been more absorbed in studying Prabhupada's books at other times? How many of you are awake? Anyways, if you took this exam seriously, you were absorbed. So yes, these exams are very important. They are meant to help us absorb ourselves in transcendental knowledge. It's Prabhupada's plan. And it's a wonderful plan. But I want to greatly emphasize that if getting good grades on this exam and getting your Bhakti Shastri degree makes you proud, then it's defeated its own purpose. We must follow in the footsteps of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And for this reason, we have posted this wonderful depiction from Krishna book. Gauranga Prabhu, can you hold it up for everyone to see? Now, I would like everyone to, line by line, say this out loud together. Let me see it also. Everyone repeat after me from the core of your hearts very loudly. Although he is a disciple of the divine sage Vyas,
although he is a disciple of the divine sage Vyas,
and has thoroughly learned many scriptures from him,
and has thoroughly learned many scriptures from him,
including the law books of religious duties,
including the law books of religious duties,
and the epic histories and Puranas,
All this study
has not produced good qualities in him.
Rather,
his study of the scriptures
is like an actor studying his part.
for he is not self-controlled.
For he is not self-controlled.
Or humble.
And
he vainly presumes himself a scholarly authority. Though he has failed to conquer his own mind. Now we see here, Balaram is emphasizing. You know how we use a exclamation point to emphasize? Well, an exclamation point is shaped the same way as a piece of kusha grass. And he is putting an exclamation point on what he has just said with a kusha grass. What was Romaharshan's, what was his defect that Balaram was so angry with? He was extremely learned, extremely famous as a scholar, a personal associate of Vyasadev, thoroughly learned in the scriptures, had an amazing ability and a capacity to speak with charisma, to mesmerize others. He had all these things, but he was proud. He was not feeling the need to offer respect to others. Amanina manadena. Therefore, Balaram in his next sloka says that I have descended into this world to eliminate hypocrites who appear as religious leaders. So he could not tolerate this false pride. The other sages sitting here, they were not near as learned as Brahmaharshan, but they were very dear to Balaram because they had good qualities. So this is sum and substance. Prabhupada said, philosophy without good qualities has little or no value. So that is why, along with the study of Prabhupada's books that are required for the Bhakti Shastra exam at our Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education, we have tried to teach very carefully the importance of developing Vaishnav qualities and skills that we can use in Krishna's service. This is all important. When you take your exam today, this should be your goal: to please Prabhupada, to please Guru, and to please the previous acharyas. That should be the goal. Not simply to get a good grade. Not to be the top of your class. You should try the utmost best you can to get the best possible grade you can for your own purification and to please Guru and the Vaishnavas. Not for prestige, not for position, not for fame. That is not our purpose. You should take this exam for your own purification. And you should absorb yourselves and do well to glorify Guru and Krishna. And absorb yourselves in this way. And whatever you learn, take it. Take it for the purpose of deepening your own realizations and for instructing others. Prabhupada wanted his devotees to learn his books thoroughly for two reasons. One, to purify their own hearts, and two, to give them capacity to transform other people's hearts as instruments of mercy, and to be able to deal with any type of question, any type of challenge, any type of doubt, and represent Guru and Krishna. And that you are all being empowered with. So this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Whether you, whatever your grade may be, is not really what is important. What is important is that Krishna sees the purpose in which everything is offered to him. Our purpose should be rightly situated. Many of you have gone to colleges, you have intellectual capacities. Use them according to Prabhupada's order to your maximum capacity to understand his books. That is what this is about. Don't be after simply good grade. That's not our purpose of taking this exam. This purpose is we're trying to humbly and sincerely please Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas by doing the best we can to reciprocate with Prabhupada by answering these questions to our capacity, to please him. Not to please your own ego, to please him. Make the taking of this test an act of reciprocating with his love in a very humble and sincere manner. Not hanging a certificate in your room so that people think, oh, you are Shastriji. That is not the point. We're humbly reciprocating with Prabhupada's love and trying to please him by doing our utmost best. And if you do your utmost best in your preparation and in your taking of this exam, then you get the highest grades. So please let us all fold our hands and bow our heads at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and all the acharyas of Arubanuga Sampradaya, and pray for their mercy and blessings, that we can be empowered to live with all humility according to the most exalted teachings that we are studying. And let us pray from the core of our hearts that the taking of this Bhakti Shastri exam will be a sincere offering, an offering of our heart's devotion at the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Go Premanandi. My special gratitude to all of the faculty members and administrators of the Bhaktivedanta Academy for Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education. They've worked very hard. It's really a dream that has come true. It has been a dream of ours for many years to have this academy and to have the facility to make this available. In profuse eternal gratitude to the devotees who helped put this wonderful facility together and teach, and my eternal gratitude to all of you for participating and taking it so seriously. I thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.
Now request His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to offer the question paper to Srila Prabhupada.
This will make all of your test sheets Mahaprasad.
gratitude to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj for speaking so brilliantly, wonderfully, illuminating us with the right mood for the Bhakti Shastra exam. So let us express our gratitude by loudly chanting Haribo! Haribo! His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki! Jai!